Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, we'll get there in just a moment. Today was a big Sunday. Did you feel it? There's a lot of momentum happening here at Quail Springs Baptist Church. And today was a culmination, a finish line, if you will, to a very big season for us as a church. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. We've walked through a very important interim season. And this is the last time that we'll gather on a Sunday before we have a new pastor. Are you ready? Yeah. I'm pumped. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. You could feel it today. But what a great opportunity today with Dr. Kelly to be able to express our love and appreciation to him for everything that he's done this past year, to the staff who've served all through this year, the leadership of the church who've served in so many different ways, the transition council who's worked behind the scenes, the search committee, Jim, thank you, other search committee members, thank you for your faithful service. God has been so good to us this year, and we prayed and we've asked him to provide on the things that I've mentioned. With Dr. Kelly, with the search committee, with helping us through this season. I've also prayed that the Lord would protect us as well. I've experienced floods here at Quail. I've experienced fires. I've experienced other events like that that are listed in your insurance policies. We didn't have any of that this year, and it's been glorious. And I thank the Lord for that. He literally has protected us this year, and we've been able to experience growth with one another. And I thank the Lord for that. So, for this last time that we gather tonight, and I'm going to look at the scriptures in just a moment. We want to focus with that anchor this evening. But we're going to end tonight, for those of you who are able, on our knees. I would love tonight, for the last time that we gather together before our pastor comes, for us to bow and bend our knee and spend a time in prayer together. We want to prepare our hearts for what's going to happen next Sunday and beyond. With that said, even next Sunday, we'll face a peculiar trial, if you will. And the experience that we'll be led into that'll begin next week will center around this word, expectations. So I'm really putting up a yield sign for us tonight in this place as we gather. Of course, I know none of us would be guilty of this tonight, but that we temper our expectations, that we're careful, that we're circumspect with our minds about what we expect in the future, and that we're ready. Some would ask this question in change and transition, what will success look like? What will success look like? And I believe that's a good thing to ask, but it's also a place where we need to be particularly mindful and careful. What are my own personal desires and wishes? What I want to see happen? What do I expect that could be unrealistic? As a matter of fact, you all probably remember this in regard to the perfect pastor. I think this was shared not too long ago, but I couldn't resist reading it again. I found this online, but here's the perfect pastor. He preaches exactly 10 minutes. He condemns sin roundly, but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 in the morning until midnight and is also the church janitor. The perfect pastor makes $40 a week, wears good clothes, drives a good car, buys good books, and donates $30 a week to the church. He's 29 years old and has 40 years of experience. The perfect pastor has a burning desire to work with teenagers, and he spends most of his time with the senior adults. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his church. He makes 15 home visits a day and is always in his office to be handy whenever needed. The perfect pastor always has time for the church committees. He never misses any meetings of the church organization and is always busy evangelizing the unchurched. The perfect pastor is always in the next church over. I thought that That was a funny one. That's a good one. Listen, we've got to have some realistic expectations about what we want to see happen, what we consider to be success in the days ahead. Where can we look for some realistic expectations? I think we turn to God's word, obviously. That's an understatement. 1 Timothy 3, here's what it says, beginning in verse 1. It's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he be able to take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. First thing I want to highlight here is in verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. Listen, pastoring is a fine work. I can think of nothing that is more fulfilling. For our senior pastor, this is a fine work that God has called him to and equipped him to do. In verse 2, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. When it says above reproach, the husband of one wife, listen, we don't have to move too far back in this week's news to see those stories of heartbreak, of leaders who have created chaos around themselves, pain for themselves and others, and making poor choices. Listen, we've got to be held above reproach. That's a healthy thing for us to expect. But I'm also grateful that this is combined with words like temperate, prudent, respectable, able to teach, hospitable. When I think of those things, I think about that bearing of the fruit of the Spirit that we can see in our senior pastor and other pastors, but also for ourselves as well. Verse 3 says this, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. The Bible tells us not to get drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, but instead to be filled with the Spirit. That's what we want, is a pastor filled by the Holy Spirit. We don't want him controlled by chemicals inside or outside. We don't want him controlled by the love of money or power or any of those kind of things, but literally controlled under the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man doesn't know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the children of God, the church of God? This is obviously self-explanatory. Leading from the home outward. Listen, my first step in leadership is with me personally, then with my wife, then with my children, and then outward from there. That's a healthy expectation. It says in verse 6, not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. Here, I think of that word, maturity, stability. James would speak of it in these terms in that first chapter, not driven around by the waves in this life, tossed to and fro, but someone who is stable. I think here in the Southwest, we would say, not his first rodeo. He knows what he's doing, experienced some things. I got a kick out of this past week. I recently heard a pastor recount a story of a young leader who was going to be assuming the mantle of a senior leader who was stepping out, who was retiring. He had this question for this older, seasoned leader. How did you become successful? The older leader said, by making good decisions. The younger leader said, well, how did you do that? The older leader wisely said, by experience. And the younger leader said, well, how did you gain that experience? And the older leader said, by making bad decisions. So, listen, there's something about walking through life and experiencing things and having to make decisions and also the consequences of those decisions that help us, that temper us to be the leader that God wants us to be, in this case, our pastor. Verse 7, he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Listen, no facades, no searching for some kind of spotlight. And one who's not only above reproach, so it's not just a shielding, but also one who has a positive impact on the community. I think these things that are outlined, obviously, from Paul to Timothy by the power of the Spirit are so applicable to us. What are some reasonable things that we look for? What are some healthy expectations for us as a church as we move forward next week, next Sunday? I think with these things that we've talked about tonight, I'm quite certain that we would all say amen to this, right? Amen. This is good. This is solid. But here's the deal, and that is this, is that we have some healthy and realistic expectations for them, but in the end, we have no control over that. What we do have control over tonight in this room is you and me. So I don't have a lot of control over the new pastor. Let me change that. I have no control over the new pastor. But I do have control over myself. I think we're going to have expectations that way, but church, tonight, I want us to focus on the expectations that we should have for ourselves. Who should we be as the church as we receive this new pastor and his wife? What should we be about? What are those expectations? Here's one, that we are eager for the living word of God. That we have this insatiable desire to know the living God through his word. That we can't get enough. That we want to know him. That we want to study his word so that we know him better. It says this in Acts 17, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, there were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. I pray that this new pastor has an expectation for us that we eagerly seek and thirst and hunger for the living word of God and a growing relationship with him. Amen. Here's the second thing. I think a very healthy expectation for us to consider and be thinking about even this week is not only a hunger for the word, but an obedience to the Great Commission. Here's what it says in Matthew 28, and I'll begin in verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'm certain that in this room, especially in a Sunday night crowd of us good Baptists here, that we would all say amen to that and that we're committed to the good news and sharing the gospel. But what I also want to encourage us with tonight is not that it's just something that's aspirational or that we're committed to in word or in heart only, but that we're committed through our actions. That we're personally sharing the good news of Jesus individually. that I have a burning desire within my own heart to share the good news with someone. Who's your one? So I pray that the expectation of our new pastor as he comes to us is that we have a burning desire to know God through his living word. But that also that we don't only have a commitment to the gospel and the Great Commission, but that we have action to back that up. Here's the third thing, that we're committed to the great commandment. It says in Matthew 22, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." I'm so thankful this year for our theme, Challenge Accepted, where this first quarter we've been seeking God in different ways to have a depth and a richness to our relationship with God by studying his word, times of prayer and personal worship, scripture memory. But then also I'm thankful for what's coming up in the future, particularly in the next quarter as we're serving God with others, as we're looking for ways in the next quarter after that to share the good news with others. So if you think about it, we're moving from this internal growth that we have with the Lord ourselves to looking outward and not just globally to our community or globally to the world or globally to our neighbor, but to my own personal neighbors, that I am loving them as I love myself, that it gets personal, that we're committed to the great commandment, that we long for the word, that we're committed to the great commission, that we're committed to the great commandment, that we're also committed to sacrificial love and growth together. Ephesians 4 says this, "But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." May we be found and have an expectation on us that we love God and his word, that we're committed to the Great Commission, that we're committed to the Great Commandment, and that we have a deep, sacrificial, forgiving love with one another in the body of Christ at Quail Springs. I don't have a lot of control over other people and their choices that they make. I'm responsible for these things in my own life. What are the expectations for us at Quail Springs? And here's a final one. That we're committed to holiness. That we're committed to holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 says this, "But just as the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." May we be found as a people. May we have an expectation of ourselves. That is, that we say no to sin and self, and we say yes to the Savior, that we're serious about sin. And I'm not talking about a culture war. I'm not talking about necessarily battling lost people who are acting lost. I'm talking about being serious about the sin that creeps within our own hearts. That we're found as people who desire to be holy just as the Father is holy. Amen? Lord, help us to be committed to his word, to be committed to the Great Commission, to be committed to the Great Commandment, to have sacrificial, forgiving love with one another in the body of Christ here at Quail. And may we have the expectation of ourselves to be holy. To be holy, to deal with sin, to be found righteous as our Heavenly Father is righteous. So as we move forward this week in particular, and as you experience Dr. Rummage and Michelle, and as you experience those times where you realize that you have expectations that are filtering through your mind of what you expect from them, may we be mindful instead of the things that are expected of us, that we're committed to God's word, that we're committed to the Great Commission, the Great Command, that we're sacrificial in our love and forgiveness with one another, and that we pursue holiness with one another in this place. May the Lord find us faithful. Here's what I want us to do here in just a moment. I'm going to call us forward to pray, and I do want us to pray at this altar. We don't have to do that just yet. I want to remind us of a few things. We're going to pray for these things that I've mentioned for ourselves tonight, that the Lord would find us faithful. But as the Rummages were with us some weeks ago, remember that he had shared from 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And it was at that point that he had shared that he desires to fan into flame a spirit of prayer and dependence on the Holy Spirit of God, a commitment to learning and living the Word of God, a passion for expositional, Christ-centered preaching, a burden to see lost people come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, to be a part of the challenge accepted to pursue Jesus with others, a desire to take the gospel to the ends of the earth through international missions and international mission partnerships, and a vision to reach Oklahoma City and far beyond with the transforming message of the gospel. And then they had specific prayer requests. So in a moment, as we gather together, I'm going to want us to pray about these things, that their hearts would be knit together with our hearts, not only in fellowship, but in friendship, that God will give a fresh vision of what he wants to do in the days to come, that God will give grace and provision as they relocate, that the Lord will continue to lead Belle Shoals as they begin their own transition process, that we would pray for their son and daughter-in-law, and that their love and our love together would grow toward Jesus and one another and towards the lost. So that's where we're headed tonight, is a commitment for us to accept on our own the expectations that we need to have, that the Lord would find us faithful as a church, especially as we begin this new work with the Rummages. I'm going to ask Brother James and if Tom would come and play for us. And I'm going to invite you at this time, if you would, to just make your way to the altar. We're going to gather in a time of prayer. And as we gather in a time of prayer at the altar, I'm going to lead us through some things to pray for. Certainly, if you're not able to come, you can stay right where you are. But I would want us to gather together and be able to kneel together and pray as we make this transition this week from our former pastor, Hans, through this time of transition and interim with Dr. Kelly and other leadership in the church, and as we begin this new partnership and ministry with Dr. Rummage and Michelle coming to this place. As we bow together as a church tonight, let's begin by praying through these requests that the Rummages made for us as they were with us the last time. Let's pray that our hearts, even now, would begin to be knit together, not only in fellowship, but in friendship.